HaKadosh, that Megillat Esther is one of the Svarim of the Tanakh. In the Gemara, it's a big machlokes HaTanoim and a machlokes HaMaroim. The final maskana is, as we have it, that there are 24 Esrim V'Yabra Svarim in the Tanakh. But according to half of the Tanoim and HaMaroim, there are only 23. The Megillat Esther is not included. When they discovered that there's the Dead Sea Scrolls in the Qumran cave, so they only found 23. They didn't find the Megillat Esther. Mm-hmm. So they're not sure what that means. It was a Lendig library, and that safer was missing the day that everything collapsed.
They
didn't return it. So someone used it for Purim. Or maybe they held like the other Tanoim, that there are only 23. They're not sure. So it's a machlokes HaTanoim. We pass on Halacha. What's an afkemina? Whether it is part of the Tanakh is not. An afkemina where you have to lay mitoch haksav. So Tosfos says it can't be. The top of Zayin Amud Aleph. Tosfos says it can't be. The Mishnah says Kara Balteh Lo Yotze. If you read the Megillah Balteh, you're not yes. It has to be written ala Sefer Ubidyo. Here's the Mishnah Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. It says what? The Gemara says in Afkemin is when the Tamis HaYadayim. They made it there, Rabbanon, that if you touch Kisvi HaKodesh, not if you touch a printed Tanakh, if you touch Sefer Tanakh that's written ala klav, so it makes Tumas HaYadayim. So that's the Machlekes in the Gemara. Is Megillas Esther part of Kisvi HaKodesh, or if you touch him, the Tamis HaYadayim, or is it not part of Tanakh? But everybody agrees that you're only right to the Megillah if it's written ala ksav. Written ala sefer, sefer means in parchment, ubidyo, has to be black ink, if it's green ink, if it's red ink, toiknish, has to be davkidyo, and has to be ksuva b'ksav ashuris, it has to be written, Torah shebichsav. Tosfos suggests, that Tosfos Zayinam and Aleph suggests, that maybe that din in the Mishnah that says, kachnir lefarish, the Mishnah that says that you're only yotzei the Megillah, if it's written ala sefer, ubidyo, b'ksav ashuris, maybe according to the Shittas on Zayin Amud Aleph that Megillat Esther is not part of the Tanakh, maybe that Mishnah is only Midirabbanan. Maybe it's not really Midiri Kabbalah. The Ikar Takana of Megillah is not Midiri Kabbalah. It's from the Tkufa of the Nevi'im, from the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, before, from the Alpi Ruach HaKodesh. The Gemara says they were maskim in HaShemayim on everything that is written in Megillat Esther. The Bez Mishamayla was maskim. The Tosfos says maybe this part of the Takana is only with the Rabbanon or later, in the later generations. But others disagree. I remember the Rav once gave the whole Yortzeit Drasha on this. And he said there are other Achrayim, the Kedushas. Levi has also Shtigl Torah on this. Not Levi Yitzchak Baditchavus. In the end of the Sefer, he has Divrei Halacha. Both Sefer Chassidus. In the end, he has a few Teretz Ana Mashor's Kasha and Tosfos Kasha. So he has a Shtigl on this Tosfos. So he also says, like the Rav said, you don't necessarily have to say that the Mishnah is only Midirabbanan. Even if you assume that the Megillat Esther is not part of the Tanakh, but it's still a Chefetz of Torah Shebichsav. There are things that are Torah Shebichsav that are not in Tamis HaYadayim. It doesn't have to be part of Tanakh. Anyway, we happen to paskan that it is part of the Tanakh. It is part of the Tanakh. Does it have the exact same dinim as all of the other Sifri HaTanakh? So that's a big question. The Gemara says that if it's Ksuva Rubo, the Gemara says if Rova of the Megillah, where is that here? It says if you read the Megillah Balpeh, you're not Yotzei. So the Gemara says as long as Rova of the Megillah is written here on Yud Ches on the base. On Yud Ches on the base, right in the middle of that, 25 lines from the top, the Gemara quotes Tana Rabban, and it says it's a Tosef to Perek Sheni. Tana Rabban, Hishna HaKori Pasuk Echod, if the Balkor, where is it a little earlier? The Gemara says over here, if part of the Megillah is missing, and you're laying it Balpeh, so it's okay. Ayat says if you're laying Balpeh, it's not okay. So the Gemara says it depends whether Ksuva Ruba or Pachas Miruba. If more than Rov is missing, then it's no good. But if Rov is written, then you say Ruba Kukula, that it's acceptable. That's a Shaila. What kind of a din is that? A Sefer Torah, we pass in a Sefer Torah Shechasa Oy Sachar is Psula. That's how the Rambam quotes from the Goyim. Tosfos Shita is not though. Tosfos told that there is no such halacha as Sefer Torah Shechasa Oy Sachar. The Gemara doesn't say. It says in Kabbalah, Svarim like that. It says in Kabbalah. The Ramban HaChumash in the Hagdamah quotes it from Kabbalah. And the Rambam says also from the Zohar. The Gemara never says. The Gemara says Sefer Torah Shechasa Yeriah Achas. And Kornbo. Our Yeriah is from the stitches to the stitches. A few Amudim.
Yeah.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Amudim. A big Yeriah is missing. And Kornbo. So Tosfos takes the Gemara literally. Only Sefer Torah Shechasa Yeriah. if the Yerida that's missing a Parshas Tetzaves, of course he can't blame it.
Yeah,
Mina has, it's missing a Yerida. Bereishis Hama missing a Parshas Shmois. But we're not reading Parshas Shmois this week. This week we want to learn Tetzaveh. Tetzaveh is here, and the Yerida that's missing is somewhere else. So Tosfos takes the Gemara, and that's the Gemara gives him. Tosfos takes it literally. Only say for Torah Shechasa Yerida Achas Psula, and anything less than Yerida is Ksher. But we don't pass them like that. We pass them like the Rambam and the Ramban and the Goinim. We have this from Kabbalah sources. Sefer Torah Shechasa Reis Achas Psula. So how do you split between the Sefer Torah with the
Megillah?
With the Megillah? So there's a tshuva in the Ritva where he raises this issue. What's the Iker Din? I remember when the Rav was learning Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, he raised the Shaila, and he didn't know how to be poshuted. And then years later, we found the Ritva also drays, and he says both directions, and it's also unclear. Is it a special Din in Sefer Torah? Because it says, in the end of Chumash Dvarim, it says, Vayikach halos Moshe lichtuvus kol dibra Torah zois ad tumam. When Moshe Rabbeinu finished writing the entire Sefer Torah from the beginning to the end, then it says he gave it over to Shevet Levi, and he told them they should put it b'tzav sometime or also b'tzad aram b'ris Hashem v'hayasham b'chol liyei. They should hold the Sefer Torah next to the Aron Kodesh where the Luchos HaBris are, or the Aseres HaDibros are, and this should now be the Sefer HaBris. Originally, at Maamar HaSinai, Sefer HaBris only consisted of the Sefer Torah from Bereishis till Mishpatim. And now, at the end of the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu, that everything was completed, now the Sefer HaBris became the entire Sefer Torah. So is it a special din in Sefer Torah? Because it says Ad Tumam, but in all the other Sifrei Nevi'im Ksuvim, the din is like Megillah Esther, the Ksuva Ruba is good. Or maybe I should say no, that in all Sifrei HaTanach, you don't say Ruba Kukuloi. The din is like in Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah Shechasa Raitachas Psula. So the same applies to Yeshaya and Yechezkel and Malachim. And let's say in a lot of shuls in Yeshiva, they lay in the Haftarahs from a cloth. So let's say you have a cloth that's missing a letter. So maybe you gain nothing by learning from the cloth. What do you have to break your teeth learning from the cloth? And it doesn't have the nekudas and it doesn't have the trough. Why don't you learn from a printed chumash? The answer is no, it's a milut to learn from a cloth. Many hold you have to learn dafka from a cloth. But if the cloth is missing ois achas, then maybe it's possible. Maybe it's the same, so you're not gaining anything. So maybe as well learn from the printed Tanakh. So that's a shaila. Which direction? Where do you draw the line? Do you say it's a special din only in Sefer Torah because it says Ad Tumam? Rikachalos Moshe Lichtav is called Divrei Torah Zos Ad Tumam. Only Sefer Torah you don't say Ruba Kukuloi, but in all the other Sefer Tanakh you would say Ruba Kukuloi. Megillah Esther has the same status as all the others. But they say no, maybe Megillah Esther was the last one to be included in the Kisvei HaKodesh, and it's a Machlokes HaTanoim. Half of the Tanoim, half of the Amoraim hold that it doesn't belong. And even though we pass them that it does belong, but the Gemara says later that in the Megillah Esther is Nikra Sefer v'Nikra Sigeris. Nikra Sefer v'Nikra Sigeris. Where's the Gemara here? On the bottom of Yud Tes Amud Aleph, five lines from the bottom. Omar Rav Chama Bagui, Omar Rav, quoting the name of Rav, Megillah Esther is referred to in the text of the Megillah. Megillah Nikra Sefer, the Nikra Sigeris. Sefer means a permanent sefer like Tanakh that you put in the library. Tanakh and Igeris is a letter. You read the letter and throw it out in the garbage. That's the return. You put it in Sheamus, but it's not intended to be preserved. So it says Megillah says there's a hybrid. Nikra Sefer has been dinim like Tanakh, like a Sefer Torah, namely Shem Tvar B'chut Epishtam Psula. If you use stitching from linen. Lax, a cotton, a wool, whatever, tightenish, just like in the Sefer Torah, you have to have gidin. You have to use gidin from a kosher behemah, gidei behemah tohirah, to stitch together the Sefer Torah, the Bimah Ksuvim. So the same din applies to the Megillah Sester. If you stitch together the Megillah with chutei pishtam psula, but on the other hand, mikri sigeres, that you don't require that it should be stitched all the way from the top to the bottom, you have coolness in the Megillah Sester that apparently don't apply to all of the other Sifrei HaTanach. Special kula, shimhitul boshloshuch gidim ksheira. You don't have to have tofer ruboy from the top to bottom. Let's say, what happens if you have a Sefer Torah? I remember once on Simchas Torah, I was out of town, I was in London, so they made an yeshiva there, so they had many different minyanim for Kriyas HaTorah, they wanted to give everybody an aliyah. So they divided all the Sifrei Torah, so they took one Sefer Torah in one room, they took one Sefer Torah down the block. They didn't have enough rooms in the yeshiva. Remember, they took one Sefer Torah down the block, and I went to that minyan. So they called me up for an aliyah. I wasn't watching what was going on. They called me up for an aliyah. I see the whole Sefer Torah is split by the seams, and just barely holding together with a tefillah on the bottom. So I said, I don't know what the din is. I said, certainly a shayla over here. Then I looked it up later. There's a long pause in Yeridaya. The Gemara, that it should be possible, because the Gemara says you have to have rubai tofu. You don't have everything tofu. You have empty spaces, but you don't have tefillahs. But you're supposed to have rubai kukuloi of the amud should be tofu. So Megillah says that there's a kulay, unlike all the other Sifri HaTanach. The other 23 Svarim of Tanach are only Nikra Sefer. Sefer of Tanach, it has to be permanent lasting, has to be tofu rubai kukuloi. Like Sefer Torah is rubai kukuloi. And over here, if you have shlosha gidim ksheira, shlosha chute gidim, if you have three places, you have one over here, the Gemara says it should be mushaloshim. You shouldn't have three stitches all on the bottom, and the whole top of the Megillah says there should be open, the tegnish, you should have evenly spaced, one stitch over here, one stitch over here, one stitch over here. Sacha kol, it's not tough for rubo, but it's held together in a way that it's reasonable. It's held together.
Is there any amount of stitches that would be by Sefer Torah that has to be?
I think Sefer Torah has to be Ruboy.
But Ruboy also, but it's not every, you skip also, you stitch it also from spot.
Right, so if you can't, you have a stitch from here to here,
yeah.
So that's Tofur. And then you leave an empty space. Then the next stitch is from here to here. So you add up, you have to have you should arrive of the distance
should be
stitched up
together.
And if the miut is missing stitches, that's okay.
Yeah.
So that din applies, seems to apply the din of Tofur Ruba, Pashup Shatting Mars like that. Tofur Ruba applies to all the 23 Svarim of Tanakh except for Megillah Esther. Megillah Esther has a kula, because on the one hand Nikris Sefer like Tanakh, but on the other hand Nikris Sigeris. But that's the Shaila the Ritva raises in the Tshuvas of Ritva. He writes both Lashonis, why is there a din that if Hishmin Bo HaSefer, if you're missing parts of the Megillah Esther, as long as Ad Ruboy is good, as long as Rav of the Megillah Esther is written, yeah. And the Miut is read Bal Peh, that's good. Is that the din in all Sifri HaTanach? Ruba Kukula is good except for Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah is the exception to the rule because it says Ad Tumum, Ikechalas Mosh Lich of Ad Tumum, or should I say Faker? In all the Sifri HaTanach, they have the same din as Sefer Torah. You don't say Ruba Kukula. If you're missing one, or it's Teignish, and maybe this din, that cost of Ruba is sufficient, Ruba Kukula, maybe that's a Kula based on the din of Nikris Sigeris, just like this is a Kula. You see the Beferish that you have a Kula over here. That's what the Ritva is not clear what this din is based on. The Gemara has at the end of the first Perek, the Gemara has a special din regarding the Megillah Esther. The Gemara comments on the pasuk. This is about 15 lines from the bottom. It says, Divrei Shalom V'Emes. Divrei Shalom V'Emes. The line ends with the word Divrei Shalom V'Emes. The Megillah Esther is described in the Megillah as Divrei Shalom V'Emes. So the next line begins. What does it mean? Amar Avtanchum V'Amri Lo Amar Abasi. Either Avtanchum says or others have a different version. The Rabbi Yassi says it. What does it mean that the Megillah Esther is referred to as Divrei Shalom V'Emes? Shetzvicha Sirtut Kamito Shel Torah. Then the Megillah Esther has to have Sirtut. You have to make lines, scratch out lines on the parchment before you start to write. It has the status like the real Mekoi, like the real thing. Megillah Esther has a special din, unlike the other Sifri HaTanach. That's what it sounds like. Unlike the other Sifri HaTanach, that it does need a full halacha of Sirtut. Megillah Esther needs. The halacha says that whenever you write a pasuk, the Gemara says in Gittin on Daf Zayin that one of the Chachamim sent a letter to the other one, and he quoted a pasuk. So he's not allowed to. We have lined paper. So when you write on lined paper, so the writing is on the line. But in the days of the Gemara, they didn't have lined paper. They didn't have paper, probably like parchment. So the din is if you want to quote a pasuk in the middle of a letter, you have to scratch out, either make a line that's visible or scratch out a line. So you have an indentation on the paper. And then you write the line. So the Gemara says, whenever you write the pasuk in the middle of a letter, you have to have sirtut. So what's the shaila? What the Megillah Esther needs or not needs? Part of Tanakh, of course it needs. So what it means is, the Rabbeinu Tam says, if you're writing, let's say, other divrei Torah, you don't have to have sirtut al kol shura b'shura. You don't need on every line. If you make sirgul, they call it. Quote the lashon from the Masech Sotim. If you make a frame, the four sides, and this will guide you when you're writing, and you have 20 lines in the middle of the box. So more or less it'll be straight. So that's good enough. But here there's halacha that Megillah Esther needs sirtut al kol shura v'shura. Where does that come from? Because the pasuk compares Megillas Esther has a higher status, more chomer than the rest of the Sifri HaTanach. It's compared to Kamita Shel Torah, like the real Torah. What is the real Torah? See, here there's a famous machlekes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. The Taisus in Gitman, the first pair quotes it, and Taisus in Saita has it, and Taisus in Menachos has it. Hey, rather they left out the Taisus. I was looking up over dinner, I was looking up, I couldn't find the Taisus, but it's in all the other Masechtas here. Here they tell you on the side. Here they tell you to look in the Taisus Gitman, Davov, and the Taisus Saita Davches, and the Taisus in Menachos. Taisus Saita Davches. No, it's not Davches, it's a different Dav.
It's Zion.
Zion. Mine has a mistake, it has Ches. It should be Yud Zion, that's correct. Yeah. So there are three Taisus in here, they left it out. So there's a Machlekes, Rashi and Taisus. What does it mean, Amito Shel Torah? So Rashi learns, Amito Shel Torah means a Sefer Torah. The Megillas Esther is perhaps lower than all the other Sifri HaTanach, Nikris Igeres, that you don't need Tofer Rubai on the one hand, except it's half Torah Shebal Peh, half Torah Shebechtav, half Torah Shebal Peh. And on the other hand, the half that it's Torah Shebichzav is elevated higher than the rest of the Kisri HaKod. It has to be like a Sefer Torah. Just like a Sefer Torah needs Sirtut on every line in the Yeshivas, I think they call it Sirtut. But I think the correct pronunciation is supposed to be Lissartay, to make a line, Lissartay. So Sefer Torah, Rashi learns that Sefer Torah requires Sirtut on every line. So the Megillas Esther has that special status. Like the real McCoy, like the Sefer Torah. The Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rashi, and he denies that the Sefer Torah needs Tirtat on every line. He says there is no such thing. So what is Amito Shel Torah? What does the Gemara say? Megillas Esther is higher status than the Sefer Torah. So what is it compared to Amito Shel Torah, which is something higher than the Sefer Torah that needs Tirtat on every line? What's higher than the Sefer Torah? So the Rabbeinu Tam says that Mezuzah, he claims, Mezuzah needs Tirtat HaKol. I'll call Shita Vishita. The Gemara says Menachos that Tefillin do not need Sirta Tavkol Shita Vishita, and Mezuzah does need Sirta Tavkol Shita Vishita. Why should that be so? So the Rambam quotes the explanation from the Goinim, because Tefillin are Mechufim. Tefillin, the Halacha says you have to sew the bottom down. Yeah, you have to sew the top to the bottom. Yeah. So it's sewed up. It's not neat on the Kriya. It's not Oimed the Kriya. No one's going to take out the Parsha. But the mezuzah, we happen to roll up the mezuzah and bang it on the door and you can't see it. But you don't necessarily have to have the mezuzah like that. You can have the mezuzah in a way that whenever you want, you can take it out and read it and put it back in. So since the mezuzah is not, it's not mechufim, the halacha doesn't require that it should be sewed up in such a way that it doesn't lend itself to kriya. Mezuzah could lend itself to kriya. That's a shot. A lot of people now have the practice, instead of rolling up the mezuzah,
very straight.
So they have the whole mezuzah straight and the whole thing exposed and you can see it. So some Gedolim write that they think that that's a violation of the minhag. They hold that, because the Gemara says that you're supposed to roll the mezuzah from Echad Klap Yishma. So when you open it up, right away you see Shema Yisrael. She shouldn't roll it backwards, she wrote it this way. So some say that it's a violation of the minhag, it's an alter minhag that's recorded in the Gemara. I remember the Rav, when he learned this Gemara, he said, it's not a minhag, he said, it's a din. And if you have the whole mezuzah like that, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. The halacha requires it has to be biglila. It doesn't say halacha, that's what he understood in the Gemara. He didn't think that it's only a minhag, he thought that it's makid b'riyadah, that you have to dafke roll up the mezuzah, as it says in the Gemara. So the Rabbeinu Tam...
Is it folding in half would be good too, or you have to really roll it up?
It's biglila. The Gemara says biglila.
Yeah.
He took it literally. So big lila has to be big lila. So the Rabbeinu Tam understands in that halacha, the Gemara draws a contrast between tefillin and mezuzah. That tefillin, the Rambam quotes, they got in tefillin, amachupim, they're covered over and they're sewn up, so it's not nitan lekriya. So you don't need sirtut akol shita v'shita. You need a little sirtut. It's like gora, the psukim in the tefillin, like gora from a letter that you write. You write a letter. And if you quote a pasuk in the middle of the letter, you need tzirta. That's the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Vav on the base. So tefillin also needs tzirta in the four corners. The sirgul, the dalet ruchas. But to require tzirta, darkol shita v'shita, the Gemara says that's halacha Moshe Sinai. That's only in mezuzah, not even in sefer Torah. So the Rabbeinu Tam says amita shel Torah, the real McCoy, refers to mezuzah. What's that? Is mezuzah the echad yasefer Torah? He says, yeah, because Hashma Yisrael Hashem Echad. Monotheism. That's the most important part of the Jewish religion. Sefer Torah has a lot of things in it. that not all is important is the principle of monotheism. Yisrael Hashem Echad, that's the most important. That's a mitzvah shel Torah, that's the real McCoy. That's how the Rabbi Natam read the Gemara. Rabbi Leibitzchak Berditchever has a long drasha, chsidus, or hela chsidus, as my shviger flags on, hela chsidus. But in the middle of the chsidus, he quotes a Yerushalmi. He's giving a whole chsidus of drasha. He quotes a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is beferish like Rashi against the Rabbi Natam, because the Yerushalmi says the same drasha that the Megillah Sester is compared to Dibre Sholem Emes, Kamita Shel Torah, like the real McCoy. Avos says the real McCoy, so according to Rabbi Natam, it means to be compared to Mezuzah. According to Rashi, it's compared to a Sefer Torah. So the Rishalmi says it's compared to Sefer Torah, says the Feirish. So just like a Sefer Torah, from all the Sifri HaTanach, only a Sefer Torah is Nitan Lehidorish, so too the Megillah Sester is Nitan Lehidorish. All the other Sifri in the Vim Aksuvim, Rishalmi is assuming Aloy Nitan Lehidorish. But Sefer Torah is single that, Sefer Torah is the only one that we say, Achaz Dibar Lakim, Shtaim Zushamaiti. The Rebbe Shalom dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word and letter for letter in such a way that in any given pasuk there can be many levels, there can be more than one level of interpretation. This was all the author's intention. So you can read in between the lines additional levels of interpretation. And this is only in Sefer Torah, because Sefer Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, pe'al pe'ah, adab b'ay marav alo b'chidus. Moshe Rabbeinu got a direct dictation. The other Nevi'im, the Gemara, the Pesuk says in B'chaloyim, B'chaloyim, they got a Chaloyim and a Chazayim, and then they had to figure it out using their own language, and the Gemara says even if two Nevi'im would be shown the same vision, but each one would express it using his own vocabulary. Cheskel has his own language, and Yeshayah has his own language. Each Navi uses his own style of explaining things. So the Navi, so the Kedushas Lev explains, the Navi is giving you his interpretation of the Chazayim, of the Chaloyim. We don't see the original. We're seeing an interpretation. So how can we give an additional level of interpretation in the Chaloyim if we never saw the Chaloyim? They don't show us a video of what the Chazayim was. If we would see the Chazayim that's directly Mir HaShemayim, we'd be able to give maybe a different interpretation. The Navi gave one interpretation, maybe we could give another one. But we don't see the original Chaloyim, the original Chazayim. The Navi is telling us his interpretation of the Chazayim, that he gives this interpretation. Ruach HaKodesh, what are we going to reconstruct Shat in the Chaloyim and give another interpretation? You don't see it. So that's what Rabbi Yitzchak Berditchev assumes, Pashab Shat in Yerushalmi. That only a Sefer Torah, which was dictated word for word to Moshe Rabbeinu, is Nitan Lehidorish. And the other Kisri HaTanach, Yeshua Shoftim Shmuel Yishai Yecheskel, all the others, Aloy Nitan Lehidorish. And the one exception to the rule is Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther is Hecher. Megillas Esther, a higher Madrega than the other Sifri HaTanach, it's the same as the Sefer Torah, that it's Nitan Lehidorish. That's what we suggested, that maybe because the Gemara says, Kima Lekiblu, Kima Mashi Kiblu Kvar. The Gemara says earlier, when they had the Machloikis, where the Megillah Sester
is
included in the Kisri HaKadosh on that, where was that, Dav Zayin Amin Aleph, so the Gemara quotes the Drosha there. I think the Gemara quotes the drasha Kima v'Kiblu. No, Shenem Kima v'Kiblu Kima l'Mayla Mashi Kiblu l'Mata. That's a different drasha.
Yeah.
That the Bezin Shal Mayla was Mata. But the Gemara Masechah Shabbos has a different comment on Daf Peches. Yeah, this is quoted from Shabbos Daf Peches. The Gemara Shabbos has a different comment. Kima Mashi Kiblu Kvar. That on the occasion of Nes Purim, there was a new Kabbalah Sater of the whole Tzibur. There's when, let's say, Agir Habola, his Gayer, is a private person, makes a Kabbalah Sater, he makes a Kriyas Bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he asked that Milan, Tfilin, Korban, do you require that when a Agir converts, do you require as part of the ceremony, and he has to bring a Korban? Allah says he has to bring Milan, Tfilin, Korban, and Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs. Do you require that you have to lay Kriyas Sater on the occasion of Kabbalah Sagerim? No, there is no such Allah. But on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, there wasn't only a Kabbalah as HaGeirus. The Gemara says Maimon HaSinai was Geirus. And we learn out all the dinim of Geirus and Maimon HaSinai. But on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, it says in the Psukim that they brought, in the end of Mishpatim, it says that they brought two sets of Karbonim. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu made 12 Matzevos, the Shnei Matzah Shifta Yisrael, and then he made a Mizbeach. Why did he need 12 matzeves plus a mizbeach? So the Netziv explains that each and every person has to bring a carbon. So they had millions. They had millions of carbonists they had to bring. Maybe you can bring b'shutz v'sosa, maybe 20 people can join together. But each person had to be a bala carbon. So they needed all these mizbachas, they needed 12 mizbachas, 12, okay. How does it say, 12 matzeves, which is a form of a mizbeach. A mizbeach is many avonim and a matzeves is a mizbeach of Eben Achaz. So they had 12 matzeves for each one of the shvatim, so all of the members of the shevet will bring the karbonas hager that each yachid is obligated to bring. Then they had one mizbeach because there was a kabbalah satar, there was a geris of the whole tzibur, the whole Klal Yisrael was mizgair at that time. So in addition to the private karbonas hager, kolecha v'yachid had to bring, the tzibur explains they had to bring special karbonas on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. So on that occasion, that there were kabbalah satar, they Klal Yisrael. So there it says, "Vayikar Moshe b'yozni ha'am esefer abris." It says in the end of Mishpatim, "Vayichtav Moshe esefer abris." He wrote a sefer abris. Rashi says the sefer abris was from Bereishis till the end of Mishpatim, and then part of the Geiris, part of the Kabbalah Satar, they at Tzibur required that they should recite from that sefer abris. Mm-hmm. And then it says in the pasuk that they threw a party. The Kovit Kabbalah Satar, they had to have a suder. It says, "Vayechus Sodakim, Vayochu Vayishu." The Kovit, so the Ramban says, Mikan Shah is Masuda Legemer Shal Torah. Because Klal Yisrael was Mekabel Torah, so it was required to have a Suda.
Yeah.
Tefillah and Mikveh, yeah. The Gemara explains where does it say in the Chumash Tefillah.
Yeah.
The Gemara increases, Daptes, shows you where it says, Bris Mila, they all had a Mitzrayim right before Korban Pesach. And the Tefillah and the Mikveh in the Chumash, it only says Tefillah and the Mikveh for the married people. It doesn't say for the single people. So the Gemara explains where it does say in the Chumash that even the single people, everybody had to have tefillah, and the Korbanos it says that they had the 12 matzeves plus the mizbeach. So because it was not only a geris of the yochid, it was a geris of the whole Klal Yisrael, so the dinim were a little different. They needed, in addition to Korbanos of Kol Yochid Miyochid, they needed Korbanos of the tzibur that was brought on the mizbeach. The Korbanos Echinim was brought on the 12 matzeves, and the Korbanos of the Klal Yisrael were brought on the mizbeach. And then it says they read from the Sefer Abris. That's only required by the geris of the tzibur. And then it says, by regular ger, the ger on his gair, we don't require to make a party. Adarabba, some say that he should fast. Some achrenim recommend that the ger should fast. Why? We have a minute that the chasen fast the day he gets married. Why is the chasen fast? Because shloisha, there are three people who get a mechilas avinas. So one is a ger on his gair, and one is a chasen who gets married, and the third one is oila legdula. So just like on Yom Kippur we get a Mechilas Avinas, so we fast in order to enhance the Mechilas Avinas, in order to acquire Mechilas Avinas, because fasting is like a carbon. So some Achrenim recommend the Ger HaMizgar should also fast like the Chassan fast, because just like the Chassan gets a Mechila, the Ger HaMizgar gets a Mechila. That's because it's a Kabbalah Satara V'Yachit. When you have the whole Klal Yisrael is in the Kabbalah Torah, like on Maamin HaTzino, it says V'Yachus Salakim, They made a suda, the covered Kabbalah Satara of the Tzibur.
What did he get Mechila?
Whatever Averis he did in his past.
Kenoiladomi,
strictly speaking, Gershon has got Kanshnaldom only means that he's not related to his mother, his sister, the relatives. That's all. It doesn't wipe off the Averis from the past. That's what the Rishami says. Yeah. And the Sheva Mitzvah, there's a lot to violate also. So the Ger, if he does tshuva, so the Ger HaMizgayer, like an Oyla L'Gdula, Gemara says when a person gets smicha, Oyla L'Gdula, so it's also in the Mechala Ma'ben Oysev, then he starts a new cheshvin. Then he can begin to sin if he's Oyla L'Gdula. So Oyla L'Gdula, the Gemara says in Ksubis, one of the Rabbanim was very humble and very private, and very bashayim, and he didn't want to get smicha. He wanted to lead a private life. But then when he heard that Oyla Megdulas M'chala Mamanoysev, then he was running to get the smicha he wanted. So the Yerushalmi puts all the three together. There are three people who are the M'chala Mamanoysev. Oyla Megdula, Gershon, his guy, and the Chasim, beyond the Chasim Kala, when they get married. So just like the Minig developed, a very old Minig, that the Chasim fasts on the day of the Chasim, as Achreinim say.
This week of the Chasim, the Chodesh, the Chasim did that too fast.
No. It is Minig, it's just a Minig to fast. On Rosh Chodesh, it's a din that you're not allowed to fast. So the din takes precedence. In Shiloh, let's say Chodesh Nissen. Chodesh Nissen, it's a Minig that we don't fast. Strictly speaking, you may fast. The minig is you don't fast. So the shayla is when a chassim gets married in Chodesh Nissan, which minig takes precedence? So the achrayim say, the behetar quote, the minig that the chassim fasts on the day of the chassim takes precedence is older than the minig not to fast in Chodesh Nissan. That's a shayla, different opinions, whether Amrish Chodesh Nissan, maybe even Amrish Chodesh Nissan, that's two minhagim, yeah. But in Chodesh Nissan, that's for sure. That the behetar quote, in Chodesh Nissan, the minig not to fast is a later minig. The minig that the chassan does fast is an earlier minig.
What does the minig come about of Chodesh Nissan not to fast?
Kind of tzaddikim. Why bedavki you do fast? You do allowed to fast. I don't know.
No, but why you're not allowed to fast? Why you do allowed to fast? Yeah.
Why the Chodesh Nissan should be different? I don't know. The same as kind of tzaddikim. Yeah. Rosh Chodesh of is Aaron HaKohen's yard side, and Rosh Chodesh Nissan, another Aviv died. So it's considered a tiny tzaddikim. Some tzaddikim fast, even Nishkan Chos, some tzaddikim fast. The Pashto says, the Rambam quotes from the Gemara in Tainus that fasting on Rosh Chodesh that didn't arise that they can have a lot of fast. Because Chodesh has a Chiyav Simcha. That's what it says in the Tur. In Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, he quotes from the Goyim, of Yom Simchaschem, Uadechem, Rosh HaChachem, Skaita Machatzaitzois. So the Tkiyat Chatzaitzois is an expression of Simcha. And Mikan, from this pasuk, you see that Rosh Chodesh has the Chi of Simcha, because it's put together. Yom Simchas Madechem, Rosh Chachechem. You see, Rosh Chodesh has the Chi of Simcha. You don't have a Chi of Simcha b'kum v'yasei that you have to throw a party and Simcha lebebaser and Simcha lebeyayin, but it has a negative Simcha that it's an Issa has to be tainus. But the Rambam writes it as if it's an Issa deraisa. So that's why if this minig that they quote in Shulchan Aruch to treat Rosh Chodesh Nissan as a tiny tzaddikim, according to the Rambam, is very problematic. It's a real din d'oraisa that you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh. What do you mean? They decided to make a tiny
tzaddikim.
Because not about the Yudah. Shver Emayah.
Shulchan Aruch says that if you have a tiny tzaddikim, then you have to fast on Shabbos also. And because you fast on Shabbos, you have to fast on Shabbos. So we see that we don't cut out because you're not allowed to fast. You do fast to fill in Shabbos.
It's really a shtickle Easter. That's why you need a kapara. Yeah, of course. You need
so
a kapara.
It's all over when the person gets married and he is a halacha that he has to fast and Chodesh, then he should.
But he doesn't.
No, you don't. No. Tainas chaloyim is that. Because when do you fast the tainas chaloyim? When he sees a chaloyim ra that's terrible and it's considered like a suffix sakana. If the person wakes up and he lifts it all up. So then it doesn't mean anything. But if the person wakes up and he's very concerned, very nervous about the halayim ra, about the terrible halayim, so then the halacha says he's obligated to fast. He's obligated to fast because if he takes it so seriously, we assume that halayim is echem mishishim
b'nevua. It's relative to how you feel.
It depends, yeah, how serious he takes. I don't know, I don't remember any halayim. I don't know why people are so worried about chalayim.
Shabbos
you're not allowed to fast except for tainus chalayim. That the Gemara says except for or Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, you got to fast. Or tainus chalayim, the Gemara says if the person wakes up and he's concerned about the chalayim, then it's considered like a suffix sakana, so he has to fast. Why doesn't if Bein Kavakol is going to have to fast on Sunday, he needs a kapara for having fasted on Shabbos. He's going to have to fast on Sunday. So he's going to fast on Sunday anyway.
Right,
so what does he have to fast on Shabbos? Wait till Sunday. So Gemara says, no. The tainis, yofet tainis lachalom, ke'esh l'noires, if you fast, it mevatel the gzera ro of the chalom ra, like esh l'noires, like flame, will burn up all kinds of very fluffy stuff. It'll poof, in 1 second everything will get consumed. That's only bo bayom. If you fast on the same day that he had the chalom ra, so he's going to eat on Shabbos and fast on Sunday, it won't have the same effect. It won't be as effective as it did on Shabbos. He won't be able to be mevatel gzeira. So the Gemara says, "Mahatush kamberet ashtikol suffix sakana." If it would be an outright sakana, then he wouldn't have to have a kapara. Let's say I had to drive someone to the hospital on Shabbos because there was a suffix sakana. So I don't have to have any kapara. I did a mitzvah. There's no avera at all. So Taisa says the chaloyim ra is not such a suffix sakana. It's less than that. If it would have been a suffix sakana, you wouldn't need a kapara. Considered less than a suffix sakana, but still we permit you to
fast.
He has to fast on Shabbos, yeah. So the Gemara says that from all of the Yamim Tovim in Megillas Tainus that the Chachamim instituted, the only one where there's a mitzvah of Suda is Purim. In Shulchan Aruch, they only point out a contrast between Chanukah and Purim. They point out, how come on Hanukkah there's no mitzvah to eat? And on Purim there is a mitzvah to eat. But it's a bigger question than Hanukkah versus Purim. All the Yomim Tovim, there are about 50 Yomim Tovim in Megillah Stadis. Every month in Don Shlik. His mom by Shana, they had another Yontif. All the Yomim Tovim, there's no mitzvah to eat. Only on Purim. Why? So the Goyim had the Girs in the Gemara because Purim is Yom Kabbalah Satorah. Which Kabbalah Satorah? So they say Kimu v'Kiblu. That Gemara Shabbos Daf Peches Kimu v'Kiblu. What do you mean Kabbalah Satorah requires eating? But a Ger HaMizgar, the Achrayim recommend he should fast, like the Chosin, like the Olam Gedula should fast. The person gets smicha, he should fast that day, like a Chosin, he gets fast that day. So they say no. There's a difference between Kabbalah Satorah of a Yochid and Kabbalah Satorah of the Tzibur. If you make a krisis bris with the whole tzibur is mekabel Torah, then halacha requires ve'yechzus avakim ayochlu v'yishtu. And the same, the krias haTorah as part of the krisis bris ceremony is not required when you have a yochid, a ger hamizgayer. I participated a few times in conversions in a ger, so you don't recite krias haTorah, you don't take out a Tanakh, you don't read any psukim. The Bezna writes a document that they're megayer. But on the occasion of Hasinai, or on the occasion of Net Purim, the halacha requires a Sefer HaBris. You have to read from the text of a Sefer HaBris. So the Sefer HaBris in Maimon Hasinai was, Rashi says, from Bereshis until the end of Mishpatim. And the Sefer HaBris on the occasion of Kimu v'Kiblu was the Megillas Esther. So that's what the Kedusha Sulevi writes. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam saw to it that the Megillas Esther should be written by Ruach HaKodesh on a higher level than the other Nevi'im Aksuvim, because the Megillah Esther constituted the Sefer HaBris with the Kabbalah HaTorah of the Tzibur. Whenever you have a Kabbalah HaTorah of the Tzibur, you need Kriyas HaTorah from a Sefer HaBris. So that's why the other Nevi'im Aksuvim, the Novi is giving you an interpretation of the Chazayin, of the Chaloyim that he saw. So it's Loi Nitan Lehidoresh. You can't look into the Nevi'im Aksuvim and gain a new insight into the Chaloyim. They didn't show you the Chaloyim. You're seeing a Pirush. How can you reinterpret what the Chaloyim was? But in the Sefer Torah, you'll be seeing the original. This is the original text that was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the same is true regarding the Megillah Sester. We assume that the Megillah, that's what the Yerushalmi says. Divrei Shalom Yemes Kamita Shal Torah Ma Mita Shal Torah Nitan Lehidoresh Af Megillah Sester Nitan Lehidoresh. So the Kedusha Slevi quotes that Yerushalmi that it's Beferish like Rashi says. Amita Shal Torah does not refer to the Mezuzah. Doesn't refer to Mezuzah, but only Mezuzah, Nitan Lehidoresh. Refers to the whole Sefer Torah. The whole Sefer Torah is Nitan Lehidoresh. That's interesting. It's higher, lower. Yeah, Megillah Esther is very different. Machlokes is the part of Tanakh that we finally paskin it is, but they were half of the Tkuvas HaTanayim Amaroyim, half of the Chachamim held it's not part of the Tanakh. But it's still part of Torah. It still has the status of Torah Shebichtav. It says if you're lame Baal Peh, Kor Baal Peh lo yotza. Has to be Bikhtav. But then you have at this, you're pulling in different directions. Nikri Sefer, Nikri Sigeris, Kamitu Shal Torah, Kulis and Chumris in all directions. Different aspects. Different halachas.
Many other things called the Torah. I think that's not part of the Tanakh.
The Rav pointed out, Megillah Soito has the status of Torah Shebichtav, but it's not Mitamis Hayadayim. So he said, not Mitamis Hayadayim, why? So I think Tosis and Seita quotes Yerushalmi, because it's Oymed LeMechiko. Since it's Oymed LeMechiko, so it does not gain the status of Kisvi HaKodesh, even though it's a text that you're quoting from the Kisvi HaKodesh, does not acquire the Kedusha's Kisvi HaKodesh, does Oymed LeMechiko. But nonetheless, if he had a Raya, that it does have the status of Torah Shebichtav. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of words. How can you say such a thing? So he said the Raya was from Megillah Saita. What was the Raya for God? Where does it say Megillah Saita has the status of Torah Shebichtav? I don't remember. You have to have Sirtut. I think the Gemara said you have to have Sirtut for Megillah Saita. Rashi holds you need Sirtut for Megillah Saita. Because of HaKoyne Sarva Seila Ba Sefer, the Rashi says that you need, that's a Gemara in Saita on that daf, on Yud Zayin. What did you say? What daf was it?
Yud
Zayin. So Rashi learned that you need Sirtut and the Megillah Saita. So that shows that it has the status of Torah Shebichtav, but it does not have the status of Tanakh, because Ein Levechika, that's why it's not Mitam Nisayidai. Right? So this Megillah Sester is an unusual thing. See, in Megillah Sester, there's a big question what the Masorah is. There are different sections of Megillah Sester, with a new paragraph. So the Shailas are in a Sefer Torah, sometimes you have a Psucha, And sometimes you have a stuma. So we have traditions, when is it a psucha, when is it a stuma. In between one safe and the other, you have four blank lines. Shaitas and Megillah says to us that our practice is, the Ramah says, we write, the Megillah says that we write them all stuma. We don't write any psucha. So stuma is you have written the beginning of the line, then you've written the end of the line, you have an empty space in the middle, enough room to write nine letters. So the empty spaces are always in the middle of the line. You don't have from the middle of the line to the end. That's called the psucha. It's open to the end. The stuma, it's awesome in the middle. So the Ramah writes that our practice is we make everything stumas. Other Rishonim, he's quoted from Rishonim. Other Rishonim write wrong. Other Rishonim write that that's not correct. And a lot of Sifrei Masorah, it says all of the paragraphs in Megillas Esther are supposed to be psuchas. Supposed to be psuchas, says that. You have a suffix on every single Megillas Esther. They're all stumas. So every single Megillas Esther could be that it's puzzle. So the answer is no, that's a Gemara in Menachas. The Gemara in Menachas says, quotes a Braisa from Masech Shabbos. Masech Shabbos around Daf Kuf Beis, the Gemara has a Mishnah HaKosev. After you learn 100 blot, then you get there. Lamatas of its Malachas, and the Mishnah deals with each Malachas definitely. There used to be one of the Rebbe's in the Mir Yeshiva in Brooklyn, of Shmuel Brudman Zechon Levracha. So he said, you can learn up 100 blot in Masech Shabbos, and you still won't know the Aleph Beis of Masech Shabbos, because HaKosev Aleph Beis is on Daf Kuf Beis. The Malachas of Ksiva begins, HaKosev Aleph Beis on Shabbos begins on Daf Kuf Beis on the Beis. So the Gemara there, by Kaisa, the Shabbos quotes a Braisa that if you write a Sefer Torah and you make Psucha Stumas, so Stumas Psucha, so you put a Psucha Stuma where it didn't belong, there wasn't supposed to be any Psucha Stuma. Or you wrote, the Shira is supposed to be written with as a Shira. Let's say, Oz Yoshir, Shira Sayam, and Hazino. They're supposed to be like bricks. You have empty spaces all over the place, like a poem. You have empty spaces, and the rest of the Sefer is supposed to be written straight, one line after the other. What if you write Bereshis like empty spaces all over with designs, or you write Shiras Hayam, Shiras Hazino, without any empty spaces, so it says it's possible for the other. If you put a Psucha where it didn't belong, a Simu where it didn't belong, it's possible for the other. These things are marked. So the Gemara says in Maseches Menachas, the Gemara quotes that Braisa from Shabbos in the middle of Menachas, back to the Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says that's only on a Sefer Torah. That then doesn't apply to any of the other Sefer Nevi'im Ksuvim, including the Gilas Esther. So we're off the hook. Even if it's wrong what we do, that we write all of the paragraphs as stumas, even if according to the Masorah it's supposed to be all psuchos, so the Yevida doesn't pop. It's Shaila Mechatchila, which is the correct way, so you're supposed to do correct. So the Ramah says the correct way is stumas, so the meaning is that we follow the Ramah. But even if we're wrong, it doesn't pass over the Yevid. Even if it's wrong, it's wrong lachatchila, but it's not miyaked b'di yevet.
Yeah,
Megillah says that when the husband brings his wife to the Beis HaMikdash, he's questioned that she's being mizana, so the Kohen makes a swear in a specific text that appears in the Chumash. She says she's innocent, she didn't do it, and if she's guilty, she accepts upon herself the punishment that she should die, the Misa Mishuna, and so on and so forth. So after she swears that, then it says afterwards, V'kasab ha-koinus ha-olus ha-eila ba-sefer. He has to write it on a piece of parchment, and then you wait till it dries, and then you erase it. So the Gemara has a machloikas ha-tanoim. Can you take a Sefer Torah and cut out those few psukim and erase that? Sefer Torah was probably written before she was born. So how can you take a Sefer Torah? The Chumash says you have to write it after she took the Shvuah. So Tais is there to Zayin the Gemara, how come I asking on that the Sefer wrote the Sefer Torah after she took the Shvuah? How can it be? Yeah. She's in the Beis HaMikdash. What do you mean? He finishes the Sefer Torah? The Parsha of Sotah is where? Parsha's Nasai.
Yeah, Nasai.
And he finishes the rest of the Sefer Torah there in a half an hour? It takes a half a year to write from Nasai till the end of the Chumash. So a Shveri Gemara. The Gemara has a machlokes with a mechkin lo minator. We paskin, no. Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim. Can you cut out that section, those lines from the Sefer Torah? What do you mean cut out? You ruin malam hakodesh lo minator. It means you have an old Sefer Torah that you can't use anyway because it's rubbed out over here. It's ruined. And these few lines are intact. Is it okay to cut out these lines and use it? We paskin, no. It's not okay. It's not okay. Here there's a Mishnah beginning of the second parak says when you read the Megillah, it doesn't necessarily have to be written in the original Hebrew. If it's written in translation, it's also good. It says, "Avakor Moshe Lelozos Balaz." You can read it, and then the Gemara has a braisa. Any language is good. If the people know French, then the Megillah is written in French, is good. People know German, it's written in German, is good. People know Spanish, written in Spanish, is good. So the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch writes, he's quoting a Gemara. The problem is that's not what it says in the Gemara. The top line on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, the Gemara backs out from the top line. So the Ramah claims that part of the top line on Daf Tes Amud Aleph remains. What it means is like this. If you write in French and Spanish in Chinese, but you write in Hebrew characters, a transliteration. You write a transliteration. So if you write, and it came to pass, and it came to pass in the days of Achashverosh. So you write a Megillah in English. If you write it in English letters, Tignish in ABC, you have to write it in Hebrew. And you have to write Aleph Nun, like Yiddish.
Yeah.
Yiddish, you're writing German in Hebrew letters, and the same over here. If you write German or Spanish or French or English in Oisius of a Sefer Torah, then the Ramah says that it's good. But if you write it in Oisius, in English letters, or
Latin letters.
Yeah, so then the Ramah claims that it's no good. He says that that remains from the top line on Das Testament. That's a shaila whether that's true. That's a shaila. The Gemara backs out from the top line.
How could it be Nitan Lehidori? Transliterate.
Yeah, Nitan Lidar is only from the original. You can't darsh him from the translation. Mm-hmm. It's only Nitan Lidar from the original text. That is correct. That is going to be correct. Then, of course, the Gemara says when you write the Aseres Bnei Homron, you have to write Aseres Berosh Adav, and you write it in two columns. You write in two columns. So the shaila is, we write it and it takes up the whole page.
Yeah.
We write, let's say we have a Megillah Esther that has 30 lines, from top to bottom, 30 lines. Aseret Bnei Haman only has 11 lines. You have 10 lines each one, Aseret Bnei Haman, one more line. Aseret, what do you have? A, the ace, Vizosa, the ace, Parosa, the ace, Adali, whatever. Aseret Bnei Haman, so that's 11 lines. So the shaila is, are we doing right? Do we have a Megillah, every column has 30 lines. All of a sudden, it says on this daf, on Tezayin and Tez, Vaizasa, the Vav has to be a long letter. But we make all the letters gigantic, and the Vav is even bigger, Vaizasa. So there's no Maser supposed to be big letters. So it should be a Shaila Bidia, the Nistama wouldn't pass on. Because the only time these, let's say you have empty spaces, the Chayodim Tainas, if you have, it's supposed to be 30 lines and you only have 11 lines, so you leave two empty spaces, leave two empty lines in between each of the 11 lines. So if you leave an empty line, that has a status like a psucha. That has a status like a psucha. So you're stuck in a psucha where it didn't belong. So the din is b'dayevet, it doesn't pass. But l'chatchid, they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
So who wants to have b'dayevet? So some of the achreinim say, who says that you put an empty line where it doesn't belong? If you have a Sefer Torah, we have line after line after line here in the Gemara, line after line. All of a sudden you have a missing line, so comparing this line to the rest of the column, you put it an empty line. So in the Megillah, the line because you have it, you put it in a psukh where it didn't belong. But if this column only has 11 lines, and every line, the letters are bigger than, all of the letters are gigantic, the Vava Vaizos is bigger than the others. All the letters are gigantic. And in between one line and the other, you always have two lines, so everything is consistent over here. So it's not normal. If you're going to compare this Amud with the other Amud before and after, then you say, what did you do? He has empty lines and he has big letters. Oisius Gedolus, that doesn't belong. So some Achreinim say, who says you have to compare this Amud to all the other Amud? This Amud Bnei Yubei is good. You don't have any extra empty lines because it's evenly spaced. Every line has two spaces in between each line and the next line, and all the letters are the same size, and the Vav Vaizos is bigger than the others. So that's a shaila, is that is that lechatchila? Are we doing lechatchila by writing like that? They quote the Vilna Gaon holds that the whole thing is not correct. The Vilna Gaon holds Bush state that the Aseret Bnei Haman should take up the whole column. He says you write whatever you have to write, and then these 11 lines should be written like a shira. You write one word over here, one word over there, and empty in the middle. One word. Who says you have to skip the line? Who says you should take up the whole column? Others don't want to go do like the Vilna Gaon because it was assumed for so many years that it's supposed to take up the whole column, so they makbid to make the whole Megillah Esther only has 11 lines. Mm-hmm. Instead of having a Megillah with 30 lines, and then it comes to Aseret Bnei Haman only has 11 lines, you leave empty spaces, you make gigantic letters, so they make, you have to have a Megillah that's three times as long. A normal Megillah has 30 lines or more, 40 lines, I don't know. And now, if you're going to make a Megillah Esther, everything is only going to have 11 lines, so it's going to be three times as long. It's going to be Gaon longer than Megillah. The same thing. Yeah, the Amudim are going to be very, very midget, very short, in order that they should all conform to this count. So they're different opinions, they're different practices, what to do, how to write the Megillah Esther. The Chayyadam was a mechutna of the Vilna Gaon, so he has in the footnotes in the Chayyadam, and the Nishma Salim, he has a long arichas on this. Goyen Shita, you don't have to have that Aseret Bnei Haman, don't have to take up a whole column. You fill in 20 lines with the rest of the text of the Megillah, and then 11 lines, the bottom 11 lines. You put your Aseret Bnei Haman, you put it in the middle, it doesn't, the Gemara never meant to say you should take up a whole column. That's a chiddush when they grow. Usually it's not assumed like that. The Gemara says that when you lay in the Megillah, there are several kiyumim, b'shas kriyas ha-Megillah. It's a kiyum of limud ha-Torah, especially we assume it's part of Kisvei HaKodesh, part of Tanakh. So it's really like kriyas ha-Torah, like kriyas ha-Torah, you're learning from Tanakh. Then the Gemara says it's also a kiyum of Halil. More effect, Akasha, how come we don't recite Hallel? How come we recite Hallel on Chanukah? We don't recite Hallel on Purim. So the Gemara gives three answers. So one answer the Gemara gives is that Kriyas is Zui Halelo. The Gemara Yudalanam and Aleph. The reading of the Megillah, Kriyas HaMegillah, is a form of Hallel. We don't even mention the name of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. We don't express gratitude by telling over the story. The implicit is that we're thanking our Kodesh Baruch Hu and praising our Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Kriyas HaMegillah is the Hallel. That's on Yudalad Amin Aleph. There's such a Gemara also on Dalad Amin Aleph, where the Gemara quotes, Chai Banam Likris and Samegillah Balaila Ulushanosa Bayom. You have to read the Megillah. In the Mishnais, it only says, the end of the second paragraph, it only says you have to read the Megillah Bayom. The Ikir Kriya Samegillah is really Bayom. That's more important. And the Kriya Balaila doesn't even say in the Mishnah. Never mentioned in the Mishnah. It's only mentioned here in the Gemara on Dalad Amin Aleph. That's what Shlomo Levilna suggested. Maybe it was instituted Bizman Hamaroi, maybe Reb Shur Ben Levi was the first one. Amar Reb Shur Ben Levi here, 15 lines from the bottom. He was the first generation of Hamaroi. So maybe that's when they instituted this takona to read the Megillah Balaila. Maybe Bizman Hatanoim didn't exist. Pashab Shat in the Gemara later, Daf Chof, is that it's not so. Because the Gemara asks on Daf Chof, how come it says you can only read the Megillah after Hanetzach Hama, not after Alois HaShachar? What happened to the Kriya Samegillah Balaila? So the Gemara says, you're right, the Mishnah is talking about the Kriya Bayom. It's not talking about the Kriya Balaila. The Gemara should have said it didn't exist in the days of the Tanoim. So the Poshub Shat in the Gemara Daf Chof is that the Kriya Balaila did exist in the days of the Tanoim, but the Mishnah is not talking about it. And the Rav Shlomo Levilna suggests, maybe you compress it into the Gemara, that it didn't even exist as Mara Tanoim. That's what the Rav was fond of saying that over. He used to say it over in the name of the Turi Yevon. Turi Yevon doesn't exactly say that. That's what Shlomo Levilna says like that. That the Mikra Megillah Balaila was instituted Bizman Amaron. But whatever it is, what's the mocker? How do you know that there's an Indian to recite the Megillah twice? Right. They did away with, that was the Havamina. Teledik, how can be? They thought that he said you have to lay the Megillah either by Yom or Balaila. It's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says only after Hanetzach Hama. I don't know. How could they have had a Havamina to think you only lay the Megillah Balaila? Well, the Shanosa by Yom means to learn Mishnayis Megillah by Yom and not to read the Megillah. How can it be? The Mishnah says you're not yet to make a Megillah You're not supposed to lay the Megillah before Hanetzach Hamas. How can they do away with the whole Kriya Bayom? That Pele de Gemara. I don't know. So the Gemara gives one of the Makairis. Where do you see in Tillim that there's an Inyan to read the Megillah Balayla Bayom? So the Gemara quotes five lines from the bottom of Dalet and Aleph. L'man yizamecha chavod v'le yidom. Hashem alokai li alo maideko. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bayom. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu Balayla. We repeat the Hallel. Even though we just said Hallel, we say Hallel again. So the Gemara seems to be saying the same as on Daf Yudalek. That reading the Megillah implies that we're reciting Hallel. So that's why the Pasuk says nothing wrong with saying Hallel twice. We will not be quiet. We will always praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a second kiyum in Mikra Megillah. It's a form of Hallel, implicit Hallel, even though we don't say a word about the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then the Gemara says there's a third kiyum in Mikra Megillah. The Gemara quotes there on Dalet Amud Aleph another pasuk from Tilim Chaveis. That's Keli Kevi Lama Zavtani. Another marker. How do you know that you should read the Megillah Balayla to repeat it by Yom? Because the pasuk says Alakai Eker Yom Avolaisane Balayla Velodom Yoli. Rabbeinu Shalom, I cry out to you, I daven to you by Yom Balayla, and I repeat the Tefillah again and again and again and again. And say, Gnujit, how many times did he ask the Rabbanu Shalom? So the Pasuk says, that's okay. The Rabbanu Shalom gives us permission to pester him, to be Mavakesh, to be Mispal of time and time again. So that's why we read the Megillah Balayla, and we repeat it again by Yom, because we're crying out to the Rabbanu Shalom, we're being Mispal. Alokai Eko Yomam Voloi San, I pray in the daytime. If you don't answer me yet, so I'll pray at nighttime again. I will not be quiet. I will keep on praying and repeating my tefillah until you answer my prayer.
It's about Eker Yomim first. According to what we have, it's
like we don't do like that. Yeah. But you see from the Gemara that the Gemara is assuming that the Mikra Megillah is a form of tefillah, not just Kriyas Tanakh, and not just a form of Hallel. Kriyas Zohalela. Mikra Megillah is a form of tefillah. It's an implicit tefillah. Implicit is that just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us on that occasion, so too he should save us bizman hazeh. That's what in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes from one of the Rishonim, a very strange din. He quotes Halacha, if a person is a baki, he knows how to read the Megillah himself, give me a Megillah. I don't know the truck, but I can figure out how to read the Megillah. So it says, I cannot have anybody else read the Megillah for me to be mitzi me, which a mekoina, unless you have a minion. If you're not a baki, mishen a baki, so you can be yotzi shemekoina, you can have a bakar lane for you, even if there's less than a minion. But if you're ain't a but if you're a baki and you're able to read on your own, so you cannot be yotzi with shemekoina unless you have a minion. So the Magen Avraham asks, what in the world is that all about? Where in the world did that come from? From outer space, there's no bakar at all in the Gemara. Magen Avraham says there's such a din by davening. At the end of Rosh Hashanah says, a baki knows how to daven on his own, so it's not right to say Shemei Kain on tefillah. That's the Ran in the end of Rosh Hashanah, quotes the Yerushalmi, the Rav Gedol Yotzei Drosha on that there are three instances where we don't allow Midrabanan, we don't allow Shemei Kain. What is Kriyashma? You should be Mikabel on Malchashma yourself. What are you going to rely on? Someone else is going to say Kriyashma, you're going to say Shemei Kain. And one is brachas over eating, the bracha before and after eating. You're eating yourself, you're not relying on him that he should eat for you. Just like you're eating in person, so you should say the bracha before and after in person. So that's why there are special halachas. If you want to be yotze with hamotzi from someone else, you have to have heisebu. You have to have everybody should be sitting down at the table. Sometimes bikvias, so it's considered as if the whole chabur together is only offering one hamotzi. It's not based on shemei koina. A lot of times, sometimes, especially Bachsidim, the father of the household says Hamoitzi, and the women are in the kitchen, they didn't even wash their hands. Sometimes they wash their hands and on the way to sit down, they're not sitting down. They're not Yotze. It says in the Gemara. You're not Yotze unless Hesebu. Hesebu means that they're reclining. So Tosfos says that Bizman Hazeh, nobody reclines by the table. So Tosfos says, Yeshiva Didan, Hesebu Didu. By us, you have to be sitting around the table. And that's the equivalent of Hesebo Bizman HaGemar. But if they're not even sitting down by the table, they're walking around the table or they're standing up, by Kiddush, there's no problem. By Kiddush, it can be Moitzi everybody, even if they're standing. Because Kiddush, the din is that Yotza Moitzi. You can be Moitzi someone else with Kiddush, even if you don't need a Kiddush. But by Hamaitse, you can only be Maitse if it's one big Chabura eating together, because you don't allow Shemeh Koina. Same thing by benching also. Benching, if you have three people that bench a Mezumin, so that's a different story. The Mezumin is one person benches,
yeah,
and all the others listen, and the Yaitse not but Shemeh Koina. They listen, the whole Chabura is offering one Bichot HaMazon. Well, if you only have two people, there's no Mezumin. So the Gemara says, if one is a boor, he doesn't know how to bench.
Then
so then you revert back to the Iker Adin that you do allow Shemeh Koina. So the Seifa Mavarech, Ubur Yotze B'Bechosta. The one who's knowledgeable says the benching, and the other one is Yotze B'Shemeh Koina. But if they're both knowledgeable, we don't allow Shemeh Koina. We're not allowed to have one person benching and Yotze the other one. The only time we allow that is if you have a Mezumen of three or more, so then it's a different word. The whole Chabura together is only obligated to offer one Bechos HaMazon. So the Magen Avraham writes that the Yerushalmi has these three exceptions to the rule. By tefillah, if you need a refuah, you need a parnasa, you need a shidduch, you have some personal needs, so you ask the Rabbanu Shalom, why should you rely on Shemeh Koina? So by tefillah and by Birchas Hanenah before and after, and by Kriya Shema, these are the three exceptions that you don't allow midirabbanan. You don't allow Shemeh Koina. Minatar, you always allow Shemeh Koina. But midirabbanan said it's not proper. So the Magen Avraham says, it sounds as if this Shulchan Aruch, the Rishonim here, it's an Aruch Eschaim, as if the Shulchan Aruch is quoting a Rishon who says that we treat Mikra Megillah like Tfilah. That just like in Tfilah, the fellow's a Baki, you can only be Yotze with someone else's Tfilah. If you have a Sora, if you have a Minyan, then the Shliach Tzibur is offering a prayer for the whole Tzibur. So the same is over here by Mikra Megillah Sachidish. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the Chidish state in the Gemara. This Gemara. Which pasuk does he quote? He quotes a pasuk about davening. The person cries out to the Rebbe Shalom, he's mispala by yom or balayla, and he keeps on repeating the same tefillah over and over and over again till the Rebbe Shalom is going to answer him in the affirmative. And the Rebbe Shalom gave his permission to nudge him. He allows us to keep on repeating the same tefillah. Moshe Rabbeinu offered this. Well, Hashem Medrash says he davened over 400 times, over 400 tefillahs that he wanted to enter Eretz Israel. So you see from the Gemara such a concept that Mikra Megillah is not only a kiyum of Mikra Tanakh, Kriyas Tanakh, is not only a kiyum of Hallel, it's an implicit, also an implicit form of tefillah. It's an implicit Hallel, not explicit, and it's also an implicit form of tefillah that we are offering a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that just like he gave us to Yeshua, so too he should give us the Yeshua today. It's a form of tefillah. So that's why the Gemara has on the top of Hey Amid Aleph, on the top line, the Gemara has a machlokes Rav and his Talmud Rav Asi. Is it necessary to read the Megillah Bizmana Ba'asora on Purim?
Yeah.
In the days of the Bayesheni, they used to sometimes read the Megillah Shaloi Bizmana. They would read on the Yom HaKnisa, the Monday or the Thursday before Purim. But the Gemara says on the first day after the Churban Bayesheni, they abolished that practice because it's just going to Tzidrei Doinim. We don't do that anymore. So now we only read the Megillah Bizmana on Purim, on Yudalit,
or
Shushan Purim, whatever. So there's a Machlokes Rav and his Talmud Rabasi. Can you read the Megillah Bizmano? Do you have to dafke have a Sora? Do you need a minion or not? So Rav personally holds Megillah Bizmano, Karamosafila Biyochid. You don't need a minion Bizmano. But because his Talmud disagreed, so the Gemara says, Aliyud of Choshle Rav, Lahode Rabasi. Rav was Choshish for his Talmud Shita, Elevele Divin Kim Chai. He had respect for the Talmud Shita. He didn't hold that as Batul and Mavutul. He was Choshish Lahachmer like the Talmud, to try to see to it that he should have a minion for Mikra Megillah. So that's what we do. Whenever possible, we try to have a minion for Mikra Megillah, even though the Purim is Bizmana, even though we're reading on Purim. We're not reading on the wrong day. What is the Yadifus? What is the Maila? What's the Yitaron of Leining Ba'asara? So on all three levels, there's a Maila. Mikra Megillah is a form of Kriyas Tanakh. So it's like Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. It's better to have Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur than to have Kriyas HaTorah B'Yochid. That we learn out from Hakel, that Hakel is the original Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, the whole Klal Yisrael. If you have 10 Jews, that's also called the Tzibur. On the second level, we say that the Kriyas HaMegillah is a form of Hallel. So in Shulchan Aruch it says that to recite Hallel Ba'asara is a Maila over reciting Hallel Shalom Ba'asara. You make it into a Dovah Shebigdusha, you have Amir B'Aniyah. So here also, to recite the Megillah Ba'asara elevates it to the level of halav b'tzibur. Mm-hmm. And on the third level, it's considered tefillah b'tzibur. That mikra megillah is a form of tefillah. So tefillah b'tzibur, you stand a better chance of having the prayers answered if you offer tefillah b'tzibur and tefillah b'yochid. The Gemara says that tefillah b'yochid, the malachim have to present the prayers to the Rebbeinu Shlom. Tefillah b'tzibur, you don't need any malachim, it goes directly to the Rebbeinu Shlom. Henkel kabir lo yimos, hena kadosh baruch hu moyis b'tfilos harabi. So that's a maila, that's a madrega. If you lay in the Megillah Basara on each of the three levels, you have a maila. It's Kriyas HaTanach B'tzibur, and it's Halal B'tzibur, and it's Tefillah B'tzibur. Each kiyum of the Mikra Megillah is enhanced. There is Pesumi Nis also, yeah. The Pesumi Nis is also enhanced. Correct, also enhanced. Yeah, that's Pshita. Should have said that first. That's Pshita. But not only is the Pesumi Nis enhanced, even the three other Kiyumim are also enhanced. Yeah, the Pesumi Nis for sure is greater by Basar. Always, yeah. Any mitzvah Berei Vom Harasnam. Any mitzvah is Berei Vom Harasnam. Here in Shulchan Aruch, they quote, there is a Machlekes HaRishayim where the women are mitztarfim for this Asar. Is it like a Dovish HaBikdusha that the Mishnah says in Megillah you have to have Asara Anoshim and Echorim B'nei Bris? You can't have 10 nochrim and you can't have 10 women, and they have to be bar mitzvah. So you have to have davke 10 Jewish men above bar mitzvah. Or they say, no, we're not talking about a dovish b'kedusha. We're talking about the pesumi nisa. It's a different inyan. So maybe five men and five women, or maybe 10 men is also acceptable. So that's a machlokes harishonim. So there are more rights. It's a sveiket edina. So we do not consider it. We go lechumre. And we say that you should have davke ten men. L'may nafke minim, l'chatchila, you should try to have a minyan. So you should try to have davke minyan of ten men. So the Ramah says another step, more than l'chatchila.
No, there's also a different bracha, if you have ten or not, no?
Right, the Ramah says that the bracha, Haravis Riveinu, that's recited after the Mikra Megillah, he quotes a Yerushalmi, that it's only recited basara. Only if you lay in basara. If you don't have basara, then you leave out Haravis Riveinu. So that's the Ramah quotes, that's the Shaila. What if you have Asara, but you have five men and five women? A little village, you don't have 10 men. The whole village consists of five men and five women. Somebody told me he's going to visit his, years ago, told me, going to visit his grandmother in Nebraska. They're going to have to take a plane for an hour to hear Mikra Megillah. There's no Megillah where his grandmother lives. They're going to have to travel an hour by plane to hear Mikra Megillah. And there they may have a minyan. Where they're flying to, there'll be a Megillah. They don't know if there's going to be a minyan. So the Ramah writes like that, that the bracha, Rav Shriveinu, after the Mikra Megillah is over, he quotes a Yerushalmi, is only recited if you lay in Basara. So because it's a suffix where the men and women are mitzarfim, so that's why in Shulchan Aruch it says you should leave out her Rav Shriveinu.
If you have five, a mixed minyan.
Right, if you don't have full 10 men, so you don't say. Yeah. The first brachas you say regular,
even
the yechidus you say all the first three brachas, but the bracha after the Ramah quotes the Yerushalmi. The Vilna Gaon disagrees with that Ramah. He says there is no such Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says if you get an aliyah before you start learning in the morning, you say Birchas HaTorah, and when you go to sleep at night, why don't you say Asher Nasan Lanu Torah Hashem and go to sleep? So the answer is there were never misakin Birchas HaTorah Lachreo for a yochid. When you get an aliyah, so then there was Sakan Bracha Lefaneh, Asiyum. When you finish the Aliyah, so you say Bracha Shalachreah. But when a person on a private, on a personal level, when a person finishes learning for the day, so he doesn't recite that Brichas HaTorah Leachreah. But the Vilna Gaon says that's what the Yerushalmi is talking about. Brichas HaTorah is only recited Lachreah if it was an Aliyah Blasorah. But it doesn't go on the Megillah. He says from the context the Yerushalmi is Beferish, it doesn't go on Megillah, it goes on Brichas HaTorah. So the Gro holds that even when a person lends the Megillah B'yochid all by himself, he says the Rabbis B'yochid. So Oish Shaila, yeah, but the later Paschim say, even though the Gro is probably right, that's what it says in the Yerushalmi, it doesn't go on Mikra Megillah at all, it's a Peladik Ramah, but they say the Mishnai say later that the Bracha that's recited after Mikra Megillah, Rabbis B'yochid, Adonis Dineinu, you're not Mechuyev to recite. It depends on the Minigam Mokam. Mokam Shinogu Levarach Yivarachu, Mokam Shinogu Shalom Levarach, Lo Yivarchu, it says, Bamed Bar Mamurim, that's a bracha l'achreha, Rav Shriveinu, but the bracha shalofaneha, that you're obligated to recite a bracha. That's not totally the minigam mokum. The halacha says, Kol ha-mitzvahs kulam v'bracha leib v'vasi yasam. That doesn't depend on any minigam mokum. That you have to say. Then you have to say the bracha. So the later poskim say that since the whole bracha Rabbis Yiveinu is not really obligatory, apparently the Anshei Hiknas HaGadolah want to sacken it as an optional bracha if you want to. So it depends on minhag hamakom. So the minhag developed over the ages, like the Ramah, right or wrong. That was the minhag, that they only recited the bracha Rabbis Yiveinu when you had a minyan of 10 men. There never was a minhag to say if you have 5 men or 5 women. So since Lamaisa, that's the minhag. So that's what most of the poskim assume is all about on game at the minute. That we only recite the bracha Rabbis Yiveinu if you have 10 men. That's how Tosfos writes in brachas like that. And this machlokes, whether 5 men or 5 women or 10 women, is it, does it constitute asura for the purpose of mikra megillah? So Tosfos in bracha writes no. Tosfos in the beginning of Shlosha Shochla writes that the Gemara says 10 women, 3 women can bench mezumin. But if you have 10 women, they cannot bench mezumin in the Baruch Elokeinu. Why? So the Gemara has a lashon, because even if you have many women, even if you have 10 women, it doesn't, 5 and 5 doesn't add up to 10. If you have 5 men and 5 men, 5 and 5 is 10. If you have 10 women, it doesn't add up to 10. So the Gemara makes it as if it's a statement all over, not only a din by benching mezumin, that 10 women can bench mezumin b'shem, as if it applies in other areas. Where else does it apply? So Tosfos says, Mikra Megillah, if you have 10 women, so they can't, it's not considered a Mikra Megillah Bo'asar. Let's say the common practice all over is that women have little babies, so they, someone has to babysit. So the women stay home when they have the Mikra Megillah. And then later on, all the women get together. When the husbands go home, the women who have the little babies get together and they read the Megillah a second time. So the second time, you don't have 10 men. You only have 1 man who's laying the Megillah usually. And then you have all of the women there. So some of the women are not mechuyev, just like the women are not mechuyev in Tefillah B'Tzibah. Women are mechuyev to daven every day, but they're not mechuyev to have Tefillah B'Tzibah. So here also, the Pashtus says the women are not mechuyev to have the Mikra Megillah Basar. The Gemara goes on the men. The men are mechuyev to try to have Mikra Megillah Basar. If the women have the ability to have Mikra Megillah with 10 men, so they should. Why should they bedavke make their own minyan? Bedavke to show bedavke. They don't want. If you have a regular minyan, they can meet a nice boy also. Go to shul with your husband. Why should you go to the other shul? May as well go to the same shul where everybody else is learning. And chaparayin, the maila of having mikra megillah basar. Why should you bedavke lose it? That's what the Rishonim say. The Magen Avraham quotes from the Zohar like that. That if you have the Baal Kori who lays for the women already was Yotze previously. So when he lays for the women, strictly speaking, he can say the bracha to be Motzi them. The din is Yotze Motzi. But the din of Yotze Motzi is only if the other guy needs my help. Let's say, I already said Kiddush, I already finished benching on Friday night, and you didn't say Kiddush yet. So the din is I can say Kiddush for you, but you know how to say your own Kiddush. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't say Yotze Motzi. Why should I say Kiddush for him? He knows how to say his own Kiddush. He's not knocked out. He's healthy. He knows how to say the Kiddush. Let him say his own Kiddush. Here also, if the women know how to say their own bracha, the women are knowledgeable. Give them a siddur, tell them to say their own bracha. So when the one woman says the bracha on behalf of all of the women, by the women's minion, by the second minion, for the Mikra Megillah, so the Shabbos, what bracha do they say? So the Magen Avraham quotes from the Zohar that instead of saying Al Mikra Megillah, the women are only Mechuyev in Shmir, so they should say the Ramah quotes on. The Ramah quotes like that, not the Magen Avraham. The Ramah quotes, they should say Vishmoya Megillah. Or the Hayodim corrects it, they should say Vishmoya Mikra Megillah. Not Vishmoya Megillah, Vishmoya Mikra Megillah. So that's a chiddush that the Zohar says, that and all the Rishonim have such a lashon, and also that the women's chiv is not identical with the chiv of the men. That's the shaila. The Gemara says women are mechuyev afen hebi osanes. Doesn't mean the women are mechuyev on the same level as the men. It doesn't mean that it's slightly lower level. So Tosfos has the machlokes with the halachas gedolos. Tosfos says on dalet amar aleph bima maschon noshim. The Gemara sounds like women are just as obligated as men, so women can learn to be mitzi the men. Mechuyev bedover. And this is against what it says in the Sefer Halachas Gedolos, that he says a woman cannot be moitzi a man, because the chiv of the women by Mikra Megillah is a lower level. It's not exactly the same. So that's what the Rishonim say, that the women, that they say based on the Zohar, the women only have a chiv shmir and the men have a chiv kriya.
Actually, moving to the Tosfos Shulchan Aruch, because the ness of Megillah was through a woman, So it's not af. The Ike, they should be the Ike of the Megillah, right?
The Rashbam learned
that
af in Abiyas Anes means that the Ikra Anes was done by Esther,
right.
And on Chanukah the Ikra Anes was done
by the Yehudis.
So that's what Taisa's time is. Why do you say Afin Habias Anes? So Taisa says no, they think that the Pshat is Afin Habias Anes means everybody was Bisakone and they were all Nitzel from the Sakone. So everybody's equal. Afin Habias, the men and the women were all together. Not that the women were the Iker Anes. It doesn't, that's Taisa's time. The Rashbam Pshat doesn't fit into the words of the Gemara. The Gemara has the end of the first parak. The Gemara has a lot of agarata where they go through all the psukim in the Megillah Esther, and they darshan everything. So one of the many comments the Gemara has is that when Achashverosh tells Esther, "Sweetie, whatever you want," she has a bakasha. I'm chatzi amalchus v'sayos. So chatzi amalchus means binyan beis hamikdash. That he had sheva v'yesher me'ma medina, and beis hamikdash was kimat in the center. And he says everything but that. This has a whole background. The psukim say in Ezra that the Chazal had a tradition that the story of Esther occurred during the Shivim Shana of Golos Babel, in between the first Beis Hamikdash and the second Beis Hamikdash. The Goyish historians keep on tilting back and forth. Every 50 years they change their mind. I think now they're still holding like the Gemara. They didn't change back yet. Now they're holding that the Gemara is right, that it happened during the 7 years of Golos Babel. Give them another 25 years, they'll go back again. Keep on going back and forth. But the Gemara says the story of Purim occurred when there was no Beis Hamikdash. So it says in Ezra that the Eden started building the Beis Hamikdash, and then some chever came in, Kosva Sitna, they sent letters and they were blocking the building of the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah. So the Midrashim say who were the chever who were giving them a hard time? It was Haman's chever. The Amalekim were not happy with having a Beis Hamikdash. And Achashverosh didn't want to rock the boat. So he says, whatever you want, I'll give you, sweetie. But not Beis Hamikdash. He doesn't want to get involved in this political machloikas. At Chatzi HaMalchus, but not the Chatzi HaMalchus, not the Binyan Beis Hamikdash. And then the end of the story was that the Chazal understood that the Nes Purim led to the Binyan of the Bayis Sheni, and that's why they felt that they had a right to establish a Yontif, because all the Yomim Tevim and Megillas Tainis revolve about the Beis Hamikdash, things that happened in the Beis Hamikdash, building it, protecting the Beis Hamikdash, improving their korbanos, improving the institutions of the Beis Hamikdash. All the Yomim Tevim had to do with the Beis Hamikdash. So the Turei Yevin on Rosh Hashanah asked the Kasha, so where did Purim come from? Purim happened at the time that there was no Beis Hamikdash. Purim stands out like a sore thumb. They all asked the Kasha. So all of the Acharonim say the Chachamim felt at the time of Nes Purim that this was going to be what they call Aschalta de Gula. Gula means Binyan Beis Hamikdash. They felt that Nes Purim is going to lead up to the big building of the Beis Hamikdash. Why they feel? Because the Amalekim Haman was the chever of Haman. Those were the ones who didn't allow them to build the Beis Hamikdash, and Achashverosh was afraid to fight with Haman. And after they finally got rid of Haman, and they finally got rid of Achashverosh when he had gestorben, so his son Artachshasta was the one who gave permission and he gave money to build the second Beis Hamikdash.
Even Artashastu stopped it for a while.
Yeah. So the pasuk says it's in Nehemiah.
Yeah.
It says that Nehemiah was the butler and he came to serve breakfast in bed to the king. And it says, "Bahashego Yosheves Etzlo." And the woman was sitting there in the bedroom and it doesn't pick up on that. Just says, "Bahashego Yosheves Etzlo." And then Nehemiah is very sad when he serves the king breakfast in bed. And the king says, "Madua Penechem Roim Hayom, you look so sad. What's the problem?" So he says that he just got a letter, they just delivered the mail, got a letter from Eretz Yisrael, that the Jews in Eretz Yisrael are very depressed and they're very sad, and they don't let them build the Chumash Yerushalayim, they don't let them build the Beis HaMikdash. So Artashasta says, no problem, and he gives him a blank check, he says, here's $1 million, go build the Beis HaMikdash. What's in the middle of nowhere? Why did the Goyish king give permission? Just because his butler gave him breakfast in bed was sad. There's something missing in the story. So that's what the Malbim writes in his commentary. Hashegel Yosheves Etzlo is not his wife. He thinks it's his mother. Esther Amalka is there. He said, Yingaleh, I'm Jewish, you're Jewish, we're all Jewish. You got to get permission to build the Beis Hamikdash. So that's what the Chachamim felt, that this Nes Purim
led to it.
Is going to lead. She had a foot, Esther had a foot in the Malchus. So even though Achashverosh didn't give permission, he said, Achatzi HaMalchus, not going to budge on that because he doesn't want to start up with Haman. But ultimately, they were Mesalikamon, and ultimately, they were Mesalika Hashverish, and ultimately, Esther had her way. And finally, her son, Artaxerxes, was the one. One thing led to another, and they did build the Beis HaMikdash. So it's interesting. The Gemara speaks about the concept of what the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to represent. So the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, in the Sugya of Chanukah, has a comment about the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says, "Dechila oiru hu tzorech." The Rebbeinu Shalom needs a menorah there. Nobody goes there in the Heichal. What do you need a menorah? So the Gemara says the purpose of the menorah is that there was a nest to Diri, that the Ner Maravi burns for 24 hours. It didn't go out. And the Derech HaTeva doesn't make any sense. Haylos Moshem and Kemidus Chavir said put in the same amount of oil in the Ner Maravi as in the other containers, and it burns for 24 hours. In Jastrow's dictionary, he mistranslates the Gemara. He says, he put in enough oil in this one,
as much as all the other six.
There were six times as much oil. So what's the ness?
Yeah.
The Gemara says it was a ness. So what's the ness if it had six times as much oil? All the others burnt all night long. So this should have burned six times longer. That's why there was a fellow, Rabalta Halper, in the Talmud Chacham in London, so he published a little essay, why you shouldn't use Jastro. Because the man are not recovered. So he was a reformed rabbi, I think. Several rabbis,
So
he wrote, he collected all of, he read for the whole Jastro, and he collected all of the apikurs and shishtik, and some of them are not apikurs, some of them are just mistranslations. The Gemara in Avi Pesachim says, you got to be careful with your wife, mechasno harishoin. She may have a crush. Your wife, you got to watch out, your wife may have a crush on chasno harishoin. So he translates from her first boyfriend. Chasna Rishon means the first son-in-law. That the mothers-in-law always, mothers-in-law don't like their daughters-in-law, but they do like their sons-in-law. So you got to watch out. Your wife may have a crush on her first, on the oldest son-in-law, but doesn't mean her first boyfriend. Her first boyfriend, she didn't want to marry him. She married me. Why should I be afraid about the first boyfriend? So this Rabalta Halpern was a character. Here's the way ready. So he collected all the mistranslations, some of them talk incorrect. So the Gemara says there in Bama Malikin, what was the purpose of lighting the menorah? Nobody uses the Heichal. Nobody walks around in the Heichal. What do you need the menorah for? The menorah was in order to show Shashchina Sharbi, so that there's a nest to Diri, that the Ner Maravi burns for 24 hours, even though it only had enough oil to burn overnight. The Rebbeinu Shalom wanted. Then the Gemara says the Shulchan. A nest occurred with the Shulchan. There was Lechem Cham Ki Yom Yilokhoi. There was fresh bread that sat on the shulchan all week long, and they took it off on Shabbos. It was warm, like when they took it off, when they took it out from the oven, and they ate it warm, and it was baked on the Friday of the week before. And the Gemara says, when the early regalim came to visit the Beis HaMikdash on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, they would pick up the shulchan, and they would squeeze the lechem upon it to show them that it's fresh, to show them the nestadir, and they would proclaim, Re'u chibaschem lefnei hamakim. The Rebbeinu Shalom loves you, Klal Yisrael. Look, he makes a nest to Diri because he loves you. The whole purpose of everything in the Beis HaMikdash was to show Chivosim Shal Yisrael, that the Rebbeinu Shalom chose Bnei Yisrael as the Am HaNivchar, and he shows special Hanoga. Then the Gemara says the same is true regarding the Kruvim. What were the Kruvim on top of the Aron? So it was little baby faces, Kemarish Vilayosa, hugging a little boy, hugging a little girl, representing the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Bnei Yisrael like a husband loves his wife. So the two were hugging each other. Then the Gemara says that there was a... The Gemara says in Bava Basra there's a steer between two psukim. In the Vayomim it's described and in Chumash. In one place it says that the Kruvim Pneim Isha Lachiv, and the other pasuk says Pneim Laboyas. Were they facing each other or were they like Beregas at each other? They were back to back and they were looking in opposite direction. So it's a stira. So one suggestion the Gemara gives is that it was a nest. The Kruvim were attached to the Oren. It was a nest that they would turn. That when Bismash Yisrael Hashem Mitzvah Shalmakayim, then the Kruvim would be facing each other and hugging each other. And when they're Ayin Hashem Mitzvah Shalmakayim, then they would be like Bregis at each other facing different directions. So it says when the Oren Regalim came to visit the Beis HaMikdash, they would roll up the Paroiches, and they would show them the Kruvim hug, if they were hugging each other, if it was Bizman Shei Salasim Tzana Shalom, they would show them the Kruvim, Ruchi Baskim Lefnei Amakim, the Rebbeinu Shalom loves you. So one of the Iker themes of the Beis HaMikdash was the Chibas Yisrael, that there's a Bnei Yisrael Adiyama Nifchar. So that was an issue. Achashverosh, a lot of the goyim don't have to be Jewish, but they have respect for the Jewish religion. They consider the Jewish people as the Amanevch, and they know that they're the favorite nation. They don't want to be on that Madrega. They don't want to streng zechontem. They observe all the Tayag mitzvah satar, but they do recognize the fact that Bnei Yisrael are the Amanevch. So Haman, with his chever, the Amalekim, weren't goyis this. The Vilna Gaon quotes Midrashim, that Amalek is out to destroy the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash. Amalek is going to give a hard time building the third Beis HaMikdash. Amalek doesn't hold from Chiras Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon talks about Orthodox Jews who are Amalekim. We live in a generation. We have a lot of people who consider themselves Orthodox, but they're so secular in their Hashkafeh, they don't see that Bnei Yisrael are the Amanifcha. They don't see any Bechiris Yisrael. That's the ABC when we say Bechas Shabbat Habanim Kol Ham, we say all the time in the davening. Everything is a Shabbat Habanim. We believe in we are the Yaman Ifchar. At the time of the the Medrash says, Rashi and Shirashim quote the Medrash, the Rebbeinu Shalom cherishes Bnei Yisrael so much. There's a love that a father has to a daughter. There's a love that a father has to a son. There's a love that a brother has to a sister. Love that a child has to a mother, the love that a husband has to a wife. So the Tanakh describes the love that the Rebbeinu Shalom has for Bnei Yisrael. He calls us Biti, Achoisi, Imi, Rayosi, Ishti, everything. All of the loves, the Rebbeinu Shalom loves Bnei Yisrael and all of these forms. So there are two different levels in marriage. There's Erisin and there's Nisuin. Erisin, we must have learned on different occasions. Erisin is an Eishes Hish Olobe Beis Habal. And Yisuin is called the Nesha's Hish B'Vei Sabal. How do you make Erisin? You give a ring, Hari Amakudeshes, that's Erisin. How do you do Nisuin? Knisa L'Rishusoy. All the different shitas, what constitutes Nisuin, everything boils down to Knisa L'Rishusoy. When you machnes the Arusa to the base of Shalabal, then you say, base is a Lishtoy. Base is a Lishtoy. And Yom Kippur says, V'chipa bad about base, the base is a Lishtoy. The Kangol has to be married. So the Gemara says in Yuma, Daf Yigimel is not sufficient if he has Erisin. He has to have Nisuin. Nisuin is called based on, because the definition of Nisuin is an Eshes Ish B'Vei Sabal. So when do we gain that relationship? The Mishnah says in the end of Tainis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a relationship with Bnei Yisrael like Nisuin. Not only like Erisin. When he gave us the Luchos, that was the case of Kiddushin. That's Erisin. When did he make the Nisuin? So the Mishnah says, V'yom Chasinasa V'yom Simchas Liboy. Yom Chasinah says Maimon Hasina. When he gave the Luchas, that was the Kiddush, and that was the beginning of the Chasina. Yom Simchas Lib is the Binyan HaMishkan. When he made the Mishkan, that was the Nisun. Why is that the Nisun? Because the Mishkan is the Beis Hashem. So when Rebbeinu Shlom builds the Beis Hashem, and then he tells Bnei Yisrael, come into my home, that's the Knisa L'Rishusoy. So the Knisa L'Rishusoy, after the Mishkan was built, then is considered a Pchina of Nisun. So the Gemara says in the end of Sanhedrin, that on the occasion of the Churban Bais Rishon, many Jews thought the marriage is terminated. No more marriage, that's it. Like a upkiget. So the Rebbeinu Shlom, we don't have to keep any mitzvahs anymore. And we're no longer the Amar Nivcha, the whole marriage is over because the marriage home was just destroyed. So the Rebbeinu Shlom sends the Nevi'im to Bnei Yisrael and says, I'm angry at you, but it doesn't mean that you lost your status as the Amar Nivcha. And in fact, the Navi Yecheskel says when he's saying B'nevuah al Ha'asid that the Rebbeinu Shlom is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, so he says you shouldn't think that you're no longer the Amar Nivcha. No. So, Ei Lehem LeMikdash Miyat. And Bavel you're going to have also. But the Knesset about the Midrashas that are Mikdash Miyat that are also like the Beis HaMikdash. Also, Makam Ashuras HaShchina, not like the real McCoy, the real Beis HaMikdash is more Beis Hashem, but all the Bati Mikdashas, all the Bati Knesset, Bati Midrashas of the Bavel, also represent this concept that Bnei Yisrael are the Yama Nivchar and HaKadosh Baruch is only Mashmi Shechinos of the Yisrael. So that's what the Chazal understood. There's a concept of Amalek even by Orthodox Jews. That's famous from the Gro. The Gro quotes like that. People get upset when you say it. But that's what the Gro says. He says there are Jews who keep all the mitzvahs atar, but they're very secular in outlook. They don't see any Bechiris Yisrael. So that's what we insist, that the Bechiris Yisrael is permanent, it's everlasting, it didn't change just because the Rebbeinu Shalom brought upon us a Holocaust, and just because they're attacking Jews and killing Jews all over the world every day doesn't mean that we lost our status as Amar Nivcha. Rashi has his comment on Ha'azinu, Af Chovev Amim Kol Kadosho B'Yodecho. So Rashi quotes from this Sifrei, Afilu B'Shosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'ariv Ponim Tzochkos Lumos Olam, when the Moshlam shows favoritism to the Muslim and he gives them shlita over the Eden to torture the Jews and to punish the Jews, it's still called Kadosh B'Yodecha, but Israel is still the Yamanivcha. During the punishment and after the Shoah was still the Yamanivcha, the status didn't change. So that's what the Amalekim, Kosfu Sitno, the Chevra, Homan and his Chevra, they didn't let them build the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't believe that the Jews, they were staunch followers of their own religion. They didn't feel that the Jewish people were the Amanivcha. And Ahasuerus was not prepared. He had a hunch. He didn't know yet that Esther was a Yiddish. She didn't reveal that till the second, till the end of the second party. But that's what the Marsha said. He had a hunch that she must be something going on here. So he said, I love you, but even if you're a Yiddish, I'm not going to let you build the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't believe in the Amanivcha. But the end of the story was that it led to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The whole simcha of the Yontav HaPurim is because ultimately it did lead to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash is to reestablish this Iker and Emunah. It's not from the Rambam's 13 Ikori Emunah, but there are more than the Rambam has. This is an Iker Shebikri. The Bnei Yisrael remain the were with the Yamanivcha and remain the Yamanivcha.
And will be.
Even during all of the Chorbanos and the Shoah, and after the Chorbanos are all over. We're still the Yamanivcha.